Hello and welcome to another episode of Q&A, GCN's Queer and Alternative Podcast. This time round, I had the great pleasure of talking to the legendary Michelle Visage, RuPaul's Drag Race judge and all-round fabulous queer ally. It's exactly 9 years this month since RuPaul's Drag Race first sashayed onto our television screens. And since then, the show has become a pop culture phenomenon, but it's also become a kind of new queer coming-of-age show. It's credited with helping change the face of queer representations on television and bringing the fight for LGBT rights to a new generation, along with being a drag contestant show. Sitting firmly but fabulously by RuPaul's side since season 3 of Drag Race has been Michelle. Her persona as a fair-talking ally who takes no shit has become part of the show's overall ethos. Michelle's kind of evolved into a straight mama to the gays, helping mend broken kids who come through the Drag Race doors to lip sync for their lives. Michelle is here to sit on the judging panel of Ireland's Got Talent, which kicks off on TV3 on February 3rd. And she talked to me on a break from filming with her fellow judges Louis Walsh, Jason Byrne and Denise Van Outen in Drogheda just after World AIDS Day last December. She was in flying form and we began talking about her Irish heritage.
So, you're in Drogheda. Have you had your
I'm
been
in Drogheda.
Before?
I don't think so.
You do?
I've heard of it.
Yes.
I've just never been.
Okay. And do you like it? Do you like it? Tell me about your relationship to Ireland and how you feel about
it. I have a weird relationship, meaning in a sense that I'm an American who actually has a relationship.
Yes.
Heritage-wise, I have Irish in my blood, quite a bit, actually. My biological grandmother was completely Irish. I'm sure roots go back here, just don't know how far because I was adopted. So when I found my biological mother, I was 26. She's half Irish, half Hungarian. And I never really did any kind of roots or genealogy, but it'd be interesting to do so.
Yeah.
My first introduction was when I was in ninth grade.
Okay.
So I must have been 14. And we were in a marching band. I was in a marching band and we competed here in Ireland. Yeah,
in
Dublin.
Dublin.
Yep. I don't know if the competition was in Dublin, but we stayed in Dublin. That was my first time in Dublin.
Okay.
And then I did radio here in, I want to say, 98, 97, 98, 99 for like 3 years with on RTE 2FM.
Okay.
With Dusty Rhodes.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
So he was the host and he would have me on once a week to take a bite out of the Big Apple, sponsored by Sidona. And I would do the gossip report.
Okay.
And I did that for a couple of years. So he had flown me out a few times to do events. And then back in 2009, 2010, I was back on 2FM with Michael Cahill on the weekends.
Yeah.
So I've always had kind of a relationship with Ireland, weirdly.
Yes.
So it seemed
very
fitting.
Strong when relationship.
They, yeah, for, especially from being in the media here now, people would know. And that was quite some time ago.
Yes.
But,
okay,
yeah.
You've also got another relationship, another long heritage with the LGBT community.
I do indeed.
So talk to me a little bit about that and how you've, like you are part of the queer community, we consider you part of our community.
Thank you.
And tell me about that kind of that position. I've been an honorary member of the LGBT
an
community.
An honorary member, but an ally. An ally comes first.
Okay.
Because I am part of the community as a friend and a mother and an auntie and whatever role that I fill.
Yeah.
But it's more important to me to, or as important, it's not more important, it's equally as important to get the word ally out there because we're in this together and I am here on this earth to fight for equality and the rights of the queer community, whatever those rights need to be, whether it's using the bathroom of choice or letting people know about trans rights and the ability to live non-binary or gender fluid or gender, whatever you're, wishes, if you wish to even have a label. I'm a mother of a queer child, so it's just fitting that this is along the path in my life. So I'll continue to fight for the rights of queer people, just as I would fight for the rights of my children.
So being the mom of a queer child in America at the moment, what's your feelings about what's going on? And we talked maybe a little bit about Donald Trump at the weekend, not mentioning black or gay people in his World AIDS Day speech.
I mean, it's par for the course.
Yeah.
It harkens back to Ronald Reagan not mentioning the word AIDS in the crisis. It's going backwards, and it's something that our community has no intention of doing. So the more, it's very difficult in America right now, and the longer and harder and stronger and louder we are and band together and fight together, the more we'll be heard. Our brothers and sisters did not fight for us at Stonewall all those years ago for us to go back to the way it was. We're no longer being pushed back into the closet. We're no longer being silenced. As we saw with the AIDS crisis, silence equals death. That can't be a thing for us.
Yeah.
So there is no going backwards. So as the mother of a queer kid, I can only look to the future. And it's a lot easier to be under the queer umbrella these days as it has ever been in my life. So I want these kids to know why. And if we keep informing them and letting them know the history and not letting them forget Harvey Milk and Marsha P. Johnson and all these great leaders in our community, that's just a few of the hundreds.
Yes, I know, yeah.
Then they'll get it and they'll know why that they're able to come out of the womb shitting rainbows of glitter. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It never used to be that way.
Never. So, certainly when I came out, it wasn't that way.
Exactly. I mean, back when I grew up, when I started with the community, it was 1986-ish. And in where I grew up, it was close to a death sentence to come out as gay. So that's why I've talked about bisexuality a little bit and how it wasn't a thing for me that I believed in, because I'm 49 years old. And growing up, if you were gay, you were bi. It was safer for a boy to come out. And it was usually the boys, not the girls.
Of course, yeah.
Safer to come out as bisexual,
yes,
even though they were gay. So it's only in the past 3 years or so where I realized, oh, bisexuality is actually a viable, really
thing.
It's my daughter identifies as bi and non-binary.
And she feels, does she feel she has a voice in the queer community as a bi person?
I don't know if she takes it that seriously yet, because she's dealt with some pretty serious depression issues.
Right.
So she's finally coming out of that. And because of that, she's now exploring her bisexuality. Whereas, and so she's about to be 18, so it's later in life. Whereas some kids might do that at 13.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if she even needs that validity yet, or that validation. She might in uni, and realize how important it is, because bis get the shit end of the stick.
They do.
It's the B and the T are the ones that really get the shit.
Silent.
Right.
The silent B and the silent T.
Right, and it's not fair to them. So being the mother of a bisexual girl, I will scream even louder at that.
Yeah, shout for
bi rights do matter, and they are real, and it's a something that can't be forgotten.
You talked there about it being easier for queer people or queer kids now. Talk to me about RuPaul's Drag Race in relation to that. And to me, it's more than a reality show. It's about living your life and living your authentic life. So talk to me about your experience of the show itself and that kind of idea.
I think people think of Drag Race as a camp show about boys dressing up in girls' clothing, and that's on the surface. And I understand the younger kids or even people who aren't familiar with our community see it as, and that's it, and that's all it is to them. But really, this show is so much more about life, about integrity, about grit, determination, love, loss, self-endurance, self-loathing, self-love. The show is one of the few shows on television, especially in a reality competition setting, it's the only one, in my opinion, that actually has heart. So at the crux of this show, it's about heart. We actually bring families together. These gay boys, queer boys, whatever, however they identify, gender nondescript, boys or girls, or however they identify, have lost touch with their parents or family members because those family members never accepted them. And a lot of times after seeing them on the show, the parents realize, oh God, what have I done? Or if that doesn't happen, an epiphany, they realize that there can be a relationship. And maybe it's slow, but the relationship happens. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it does. But for me as a parent, it's the most rewarding moment to see a parent love their queer child just for who they are. Because nobody has to be born. I didn't ask to be born, and I'm an adopted kid. My mother obviously, I don't want to say didn't want me, but couldn't have me.
Yes, she was,
Other circumstances got in the way, but she loved me enough to give me up for adoption. She didn't, you know, a lot of these parents kick their kids out on the street when they come out, and the only thing they have to turn to is sex, selling their bodies. They don't believe that they have what it takes, the self-worth and the self-love, to do anything other than tricking or selling. Yeah. So we end up with drug issues, suicides, homicides, LGBT youth homelessness is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
So with our show, a lot of times parents come around and say, oh my God, I am so sorry I didn't see what was right in front of my face. All you really needed was a love, was for me to love you. And I try to tell parents that you don't need to accept it, or you just don't, sorry, let me say that right.
Okay.
Tell parents you don't need to approve of it. You just need to accept it.
Accept, okay.
Because no parent that I know of wants their child to be gay. For me, it was always the thought of, I mean, I knew that I would end up with a queer kid no matter. I just thought it would be a little choreographer, interior decorating boy, yes, hairdresser. But it ended up being a girl who's still questioning and finding her way. When I talk to parents a lot, I hear the story of, it's not that I don't love my child because they're gay. It's that I blame myself. What did I do? And I don't want my child to have a tougher life. It's much harder to be queer in the world than it is to be heteronormative.
Of course, yeah.
And we have our own issues in that world.
Yeah.
So I don't know if any parent says, you know, I want a gay child, because they know how much harder it's going to be for them.
Yeah.
So if they understand that and go, this is not my journey, this is my child's journey, this isn't about me, stop making it about me, and put the attention on the kid that all they need is love, and you don't have to approve that they're having sex with the same gender person, because it really doesn't pertain to you, mom or dad. What
or
pertains to
anyone
to,
else,
that's
really.
It, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
What it pertains to is the love that you have for your child.
Yes.
So if we can get that message out there and keep the parents going strong for the kids, we'll have much less homelessness and much more understanding. And that's what the show is really about, is bringing families together and helping people, whether it's a parent or not, understand A, the plight of our community, and B, what we've been through and how far we've come, and C, where we're going.
Yeah. So to me, it's more than that also. Mm. So it's a cultural phenomenon.
That too.
And it's a cultural phenomenon that people are watching and learning mm-hmm. from, mm-hmm. learning about other mm-hmm. other people and mm-hmm. other ways of being, and that young queer people are being empowered by. Would you say that's a...
Fully agree.
Yeah.
I think that there's a movement, an uptick in the community. And I'm just going to go ahead and say that I think it has a lot to do with RuPaul's Drag Race, because I think there's a a confidence in the younger generation.
Yeah.
If it were me growing up and my self-loathing and the hatred that I had for myself, not knowing why, and it probably stemmed all from being in the womb and not being wanted, because you carry that with you.
Of course.
As deep as that sounds.
No, of course.
Excuse me. So if I had a show like Drag Race, maybe I wouldn't have had an eating disorder. Maybe I wouldn't have thought I was ugly or didn't fit in or had no one who understood my weirdness, because they're weird too. But I didn't have that. So I had to go through all this shit to come out the other side and realize I'm not going to sit back and let somebody bully somebody else the way that I was bullied. And that's where my advocacy came into play.
Into play.
Yeah.
So tell me, it's changing lives. How has it changed your life?
I'm like a cat. Like, I've gone through many careers, and I'm very proud of everything I've ever done. I try not to live in regret about anything. For me, it's given me a platform to raise my voice and allow me to do the advocacy and the activist work that I want to do. And I intend on doing more, and always have done it, but I would be doing it in the sidelines because I was only on the radio or not, you know, so I would talk about it on my radio shows. But that's a different impact,
of course,
than this cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, a massive
culture. So the community in New York and LA and the people that have always known me to be an advocate, it's nothing for them. But for the younger kids, it's something. They didn't know who I was, and now they put me on this different kind of pedestal, which is great, but I also want them to put me on the pedestal as a voice for them.
Yes.
Not just a drag queen or...
Or a celebrity.
That's just bullshit.
Yeah.
It's about the work that we need to do and that I'm willing to do.
So tell me about being on a judging panel in a show like this or a show like RuPaul's.
Mm-hmm.
How are you helping? Like, how are you helping the people that come before you? What's your...
Well, RuPaul's Drag Race, I have a very specific role.
Yes.
And I grew up in this community since I was 17 years old. I was literally weaned off the plastic tits of a drag queen. So for me, I have a background that I have a standard that I'm holding these queens to. When I know that they can do better, I've seen better in your local club, don't bullshit with me with this. So it's a different kind of judging. I'm a lot tougher on them because I need to be. If a child comes up or somebody, you know, in Ireland's Got Talent that has something, but they're not quite ready, I'm not going to shoot them down and tell them this sucks.
Yeah.
because that's not actually who I am.
Yes.
I want to encourage everybody to follow their dream. I think it's important. If they don't have that talent, I'm going to tell them, I don't know if this should be your dream. You should have a backup dream. But I'm not going to stop anybody from chasing what they want. I just think that I like to give constructive criticism, as we see on RuPaul's Drag Race, because it's not going to help me to cut somebody down for me. It's going to help me to help somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a Virgo. I want to help everybody. So I want everybody to be happy. So I'm going to tell them the truth, and I'm going to be stern, and I'm going to give them criticism that I think they deserve, but also praise.
Okay. So I'm going to loop back a little bit to queer rights again and ask you, so yes, we are, we're a fighting crew. We fight for our rights.
Indeed, always had to.
We always had to. What should we be doing now?
Well, for starters, I think infighting has got to stop. We've got so much infighting in this community. I've seen it so much. Queer people keeping queer people down. I see it with my own eyes. To think that somebody within our community would want to stop another people, like gay men having negative things to say about trans women, or you know what I'm talking
about.
Dolce & Gabbana is a perfect example. Yeah. Talking shit about synthetic families. I'm adopted. Yeah. Am I synthetic?
Yeah, yeah.
I was not able to have children. It took me a long time to get pregnant. So if I were to have IVF, is that synthetic?
Yeah.
So that's talking shit within our own community. I think there's no time for that. We are under attack right now.
Yeah.
So we need to start pulling together like we did 30, 40, 50 years ago and start rising up, not keeping each other down. I say it all the time about women. Misogyny is at a full-time high right now. So instead of calling other women names, sluts, fat, ugly, whatever, get behind her and go, bitch, you look fucking great.
Yes. And use what's out there now about those sexual predators to actually change things.
And they've always been there. They always will be. Yeah. So it's up to us to use our voices. You can hate, listen, I'm not the biggest Kardashian fan. I've been public about it. But I am not going to say anything bad about them doing what they're doing. That's what they want to do, and they're doing it, and they're all women. They fucking better work. Good for them.
Yep.
So it's about time that we in the queer community lift each other up. You might not like what I wear. I might not like what you wear. Even who you are, what you do. I get a lot of shit for the type of judging that I do on Drag Race. But I am here to lift up the community, not take you down.
Okay.
So we have to remember that we're in this together. You have to laugh at things sometimes. We're also getting overly PC. And that's, again, not what, especially in the drag community, that's not what we're here to do.
No, you're here to push boundaries.
Honey, take the piss. We are a fucking irreverent bunch.
Yeah.
We're rebels.
Yeah,
we were never. Yes, and we were never the mainstream. We don't want to be the mainstream. Yeah. And we will never be the mainstream. We are more mainstream now. And it's a good thing, because now the kids have somewhere to go that never did before. But we're not looking to be normalized.
Yeah, the kids have to keep saying it.
Yeah.
They have to keep being out there and saying it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you
pleasure.
So much for having me.
Are you going
me.
To go and hang out in the gay scene in Dublin, the queer scene?
Probably more when I come back for the live shows, just because I leave here and I go right on the Christmas Queens tour.
Right. Well, if you see me, I'll buy you a pint.
All right. I will be back, and we'll do it then.
Okay, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into Q&A, and thanks to Michelle Visage for being our guest this time around. If you liked our podcast, please rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast fix, and share with your friends. And we'll see you the next time.